Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. June 30th, 2007, Saturday night, AM in Hawaii tonight. Oh, I hope Steve Barish did a good job earlier. Anyway, we're going to rock and roll right in here. I'm sure Steve rocked you guys out. We're going right to Canada, 2002, time travel. Welcome, Tantalk 1340.
Dr. Bell has researched the field of anti-aging medicine and advanced pyramid technologies. Dr. Bell will discuss how to live a more conscious, healthier, and happier life. Dr. Bell.
Brief intro. Brief intro.
How's everybody doing today? We've had a lot happen since we were here last year. Down below the border, obviously. And 9/11, you know, it probably was kind of a sad way to wake people up, but I'm not sure it has. It seems like America's still starting to fall back to sleep. As I had said many years before, in our government down there, the government was definitely trying to make our constitutional freedoms go away. And I remember when you guys got your guns removed up here and your crime rate went way up. And down in Southern California where I live, about the consciousness there is that people drive around in their SUVs on cell phones and have wrecks. So it's kind of a sad state seeing where the world is today and running around trying to chase down Osama bin Laden. It's real interesting because I've had a tremendous input with the State Department for a number of years down there. And we do a thing called remote viewing. And years ago, when I worked with the government back in the 50s, about 56, 58, 59, we were doing remote viewing experiments at the University of Michigan. And so having done that 50 years ago, almost, you get pretty good at it today. And it was really interesting because on December 14th, we did some viewing and we found out exactly where Osama bin Laden was. And called the State Department up and told him what his escape route was and where he was going. He even had some drawings of buildings he was staying in. They weren't interested at all. They freaked out. Matter of fact, I was getting clearance for the White House later on this year and they took that away because I presented my forum on where the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. Anybody in here curious to know where he is? Okay. Here's what happened. He's alive. You think a man that could plot something like bringing down those two trade centers and hitting the Pentagon wouldn't be alive today? Let's ask yourself that question. We're talking about people live in the deserts, live in remote areas, act like nomads, exist on eat very little. They have a pretty high level of consciousness. Those Arabs have lived in those deserts for thousands of years. You know, no race has really ever conquered them, ever. So what happened was, you know, I don't know if you know about his income or not, but his high source of income was heroin, poppy. And a friend of mine, Bogue Wright, some of you know, remember General Bogue Wright from the Green Berets. He had a big crusade back in the 70s against Khum Sa and the Golden Triangle in Cambodia and Laos, which is the three countries in Vietnam that raised huge amounts of heroin. And so what happens is there's these old trails that go from Afghanistan all the way up into Cambodia across the top of the Himalayas. This is north of the Himalayan mountain range, across the bottom of the Gobi Desert, and it terminates out into the Chinese area and the area of North Korea. So Osama bin Laden, in a very early stage of all of this, knew that he was going to be pretty hot. On the 14th of December, he went up through Mazat al-Sharif, which was held by the Northern Alliance. He went up in a path, it's called an old opium path, up into a town north of Afghanistan called Dushanbe. This will probably come out in history later on. After he got up into Dushanbe is a town like Baghdad was 1,000 years ago. Mystical, it's a big trading town. It's a town of outlaws. There's no CIA intelligence there. They wouldn't last 5 minutes. They'd stick out like a... They look like an FBI agent going down the hall here with glasses on, you know, sunglasses, how obvious that is. So he went across the Shemi, across the northern part of Tajikistan, into China. And he went up into the northern part, actually the southern part of China, up into the Gobi Desert where he is now. He's currently residing in a temple up there, receiving Chinese acupuncture and different Chinese medicine types to get rid of his ailments of liver and kidney problems that have been ailing him for a number of years. So in other words, he's in rejuvenation, R&R, right now, and that's where he is. I presented this on the 14th. On the 19th of December, we started going in and finding caches of Chinese weapons in Tora Bora, which then verified exactly what I had said. And then the American, I don't know how your press up here, but if you watch CNN, you know, they said, oh, it's real interesting. You know, we just found all these Chinese arms, very advanced new arms, in all these caves in Afghanistan, and no sign of Osama bin Laden. So you can draw your own conclusions. They don't know how long he'll be there. I'm sure the State Department knows he's there, but in China he's protected, because there the government is split between the business types and the military, and the military is definitely a fan of Osama bin Laden, and they hate America even more than the terrorists do. So that's about what's happening. There were rumors that he would come out, go further across. If you look at your maps, you'll see that he can move east and come out across the mountain ranges coming into eastern China, and he can come down into the Philippines. When this rumor got out, immediately America dispatched forces into the Philippines. So anyhow, I just want to say that's your government cover-up in action. And it's the way it goes around the world. It's the way it's been for millennia. And the sooner you wake up and realize it and don't believe a word that's in the news, because it's all propaganda hyped by industrial people, you know, the big business. Just like the unfortunate thing I'm having to deal with the school systems down in the United States, because my daughter came back from going to school in England and decided to do her last year in the United States in Laguna Beach High School. And I found, when I went over to examine their curriculum, that all of the programs in high schools down there are geared to get kids through corporate America. In my time, at the end of World War II, the American school system was geared to get people into the government if they were qualified, and that's why I ended up being an MKUltra person at 11, 12 years old. So that's kind of how politics works with your kids. One of the big things that's covered up, obviously, is my subject, anti-aging. Anti-aging and getting more energy and becoming stronger with age is something that the government definitely doesn't want, because it's a big detriment to your Social Security programs and your retirement programs, which have all been tapped out probably worldwide for a long time. And so as a result, a lot of the things that are made and brought into the product lines are deemed by one government or another to be illegal. For example, when I first got into studying anti-aging and nutrition, it was back at MKUltra at the University of Michigan. We observed a bunch of people that had been in the Hiroshima Nagasaki attacks in the world, and some of them were very close to the bombs when they went off, and some of them were far away. People at what we would call ground zero, which is an area where the bomb explodes, most of them were affected vastly by radiation, but a lot of them had no effects from the radiation. People far away, 30, 40 miles away, which is a long way from a nuclear blast in those days, had sometimes greater effects than people that had zero effects at ground zero, up close. And this got us into the study of, because we were already doing mind control experiments at that time, we began to understand the electrical workings of the brain and how it worked. And we found if the brain was high on electrolytes, the effects of radiation on the body would be very low. And if the brain was low in electrolytes, the effects of radiation would be detrimental to the body, causing genetic damage and later on cancer. How many of you know how radiation affects your body? When you start to really notice that, what's really happening in your body? Does anybody know? In general, it creates what's called free radicals. Okay, free radicals then start DNA and gene splicing different areas of the body, and usually affect the pituitary gland in some form, which produces estrogen and testosterone. In males and females, the estrogen becomes rampant and starts going into the body, and then the immune system is affected, which then allows the virus itself to make something cancerous. Otherwise, sometimes you just end up with lumps or tumors in your body, which are non-carcinogenic, non-cancerous. This is how it starts. So I also want you to remember that in the course of the last 50 years, we have exploded over 1,000 bombs in the United States and about 800 in Russia, atomic bombs. So the radiation level of this planet is up at least 15 to 20% from what it was in those times. And so all of you, if you were compared to yourselves 50 years ago, would be carrying a fairly high amount of radiation on a daily basis. It's stored in your water tables and stored in your bodies. And this, of course, causes, you know, it attacks itself to the fatty tissue first, the mammillary glands in women, which causes breast cancer, and the male organs, which causes male cancer in the cancer of the testicles, all types of male cancers that are found in the lower parts of the body, mainly prostate. And strangely enough, prostate usually comes in men after 50 years old, because if you look at the degradation or the natural erosion of the immune system by radiation in the outside environment, another thing is lack of oxygen, it comes to about zero, the zero crossing where your vitality crosses your ability to defend against these diseases, happens around 50 years old in most genetics in males now, in Caucasian males. So going back to the University of Michigan, with the studies we were doing, we found that the people that weren't harmed by the radiation had large amounts of Fotai ginseng and Gotocoa in their bodies. Fotai ginseng and Gotocoa produced large amounts of electrolytes in the brain, which caused all parts of the electrical systems in the body to function properly. And if you start treating your body, even for energy or for clarity of thought or any of these kinds of things, if you start treating your body on the biochemical or the physical level first, in any disease or pre-disease condition, you're wasting your time. You need to go back to the parts of the body which go before biochemistry. Backwards one step is the electrical body, which is the aura and the behavior of the brain. And back before that is the body of the electrical precursation part of the body. My work has been primarily working with all three areas of the body. I've done formulations and tonics using Fotai, ginseng, gotocoa, and many other herbs to take care of the biochemistry. I developed ionization systems which are used worldwide to produce negative ions for the air because of the destruction of the air by all kinds of fossil burning fuels. And we've gone into the electrical precursing energy fields, which are the most important in this time because of the high frequency that goes in our consciousness. And we're so high strung and more tuned to consciousness now than we were because we're more awake because of where we are in reverence and relevance to our rotation throughout the universe in space and time. How many of you have noticed that time has sped up a little bit? Just a bit, isn't it? Yeah. The reason that you notice that is the fact is the electron and the proton, they have a particular behavior. And I wrote about this stuff in my book. I'm going to cover a couple of these subjects before I go too deep into, you know, nuts and bolts things. Everybody knows that you have an electron and a proton in your body, right? Okay, and your electron and a proton, the electron is like a electrical device, a little electrical charge, and it moves around the central nucleus, which is called the proton. The proton is 1,645 times heavier than the electron. So whatever energy that electron focuses on that proton is going to have a behavioral characteristic of that atom. The atoms, the protons and the electrons, combine rather quickly into making cells. The cells combine rather quickly at the rate of 50 million per second to make organs. And the body reproduces its entire self in 7 years. And in 3 months, it reproduces its first complete body of itself, which is the red blood cell system, in 90 days. In 6 months, a lot of organs are rejuvenated, like the liver. The liver, by the way, is considered the 1,000-year-old organ, and it's very bulletproof unless you're really, really bad to that organ. So what happens is, when you start looking at the integrity of the reproductive system over a period of time, you can subject this electron proton to a good frequency, a good environment of reproductive qualities, which enhances the durability of the organs that it's going to produce. Or over a period of time, you can put the electron and the proton in the face of negative energies and decrease the integrity of the tissue being reproduced. This then shows up in what's called DNA, our DNA. And our DNA unwinds at a certain rate over a period of time and reproduces itself so many times in a lifetime, and then it stops. But due to modern therapeutic science now, we are beginning to understand this process, including the environment, and we're making changes in the environment, allowing the process to live a much longer natural life. There are children probably present in this building today that will see their 200th birthday before they pass on. And that's a fact of life. And there's a lot of people in this building today that won't get even to a normal lifespan because of bad deleterious practices. So these are the kinds of things that we need to start to embrace. We in science, especially myself and other scientists, began to really go into for cellular research. We really wanted to look at the behavior of the electron and the proton. And we found that the electron doesn't just go around in an orbit like we learn in school. It actually has, depending on the personality of the individual, a different type of orbital pattern. In some people, it stops and makes like an S turn, which is called a W orbital. In other people, it produces what's called a P orbital. So the orbital pattern itself in human beings varies. Then we found that not only does the orbital pattern of the electron vary quite a bit, but it actually stops for millionths of a second and does a little dance in different patterns. And during this dance, or this little pattern dance, it infuses energy into the proton, which then sends out energies to keep the electron in orbit and thus becomes a self-sustaining energy unit in our bodies. When we get in touch with this process, we can sustain life indefinitely. I know some of you in here know that I'm a Pleiadian contactee. It's been well documented for over 30 years. And the Pleiadians have a lifespan of well over 1,500 years by understanding this process. And luckily, they have been able to deliver a lot of this intelligence to our science communities. And I happen to be one of the recipients of the health side of it, as well as part of the science part of it. I'm not the only person and contactee on this planet that's ever made a difference or tried to. John Carter Sr., for example, had many dreams with extraterrestrials before he started a company called IBM. Thomas Colson and Fred Hart started a company called the National Health Federation, which was responsible for legalizing vitamins and over-the-counter supplements and freedom of health choices in the United States. Both claimed to be contactees. Nikola Tesla was a contactee. My great-great-uncle, Alexander Graham Bell, also in our family tree, has made many statements about extraterrestrial communications. So if we rely and listen to a higher self and a more evolved species, maybe we can bring some light into our own lives. This is very important. We began to study this in science also, this behavior of the electron, because an electron and proton is not just peculiar to the human body. Now, the peculiarity of the human body is that it's responsible for the seven levels of consciousness that we well know. Oftentimes I ask people what a level of consciousness is, and they really don't know. But what you have to do is go to an axiom of thought and realize a few things about life itself. One is, everything is energy. And energy follows thought, okay? Energy follows thought. If you were to look at consciousness in some manner and diagram it, in some way that you could interpret it to make your life better, to make your environment better, to make your body more healthy, and to look at it on what we call the electrical precursing level, which is the most primary level that we should look at it right now before the dream state, you would realize that sound, light, and color are basically what the human body and the whole universe are made of. In color by itself, we look at the rainbow, red through violet. Red resides on a higher plane. Violet resides on a lower plane, the physical plane. In the morning when you wake up, the color red is very prevalent in the vibration of the electron, and the color red stimulates the body, bringing you out of sleep. And that stimulus that brings you out of sleep and makes you ready for the day is called the will, W-I-L-L. Its musical note would be A. That is a level of consciousness. Without it, you would go on into a peaceful sleep and there'd be a funeral for you in a week or two later. So the will is very important. Then when you wake up in the morning, you might have a child or an animal or a pet or something that comes up to your bed or comes and embraces you. That's not what woke you up. You're already awake. But you feel that attraction for that person or that animal or something. And that's called love. And that works through the heart chakra, the heart itself. Love is a feeling. Energy follows thought. It's a level of consciousness. Do things to your body, live a life of greed or avarice, and you'll destroy the ability of the heart to express itself, and you'll calcify that part of your body, and you'll die an early death. Then a child, let's say, comes towards you and has an axe, falls down, or the animal runs into the door and hurts itself. You feel that feeling. You feel something for that creature that you feel for yourself, and that's compassion. That's another level of consciousness. It's not love. It's not what woke you up. Will. It's compassion. And that compassion feeling resides in what's called the solar plexus. Take away that problem, that energy, and you'll have digestive problems. You'll have energy problems. Your corticosteroid system will be disrupted. The thought process itself, the thinking of, you know, logic and ill and not logic, those thinking process works through the throat chakra, thyroid gland. Color is green. Another level of consciousness. Sex, reproduction, attraction for one for the opposite sex or in a new society for the like sex, whatever, is a seventh level of consciousness, reproduction. It's violet in nature. Now, in order to feel those things, we have to go back to the electrical level. And you could just imagine in the universe, within the atom itself, inside the atom, in the world of subatomic physics, reside the characteristics of the energies that make these things manifest through our bodies. And that characteristic itself is under attack as it approaches our bodies. And it's destroyed by things called ELF in the Heart Project. Okay? Destroys the basic characteristics. And if you look at the body on another level, the body is a mineral. The mineral body is 5% mineral. It controls 95% of metabolic functions. That's why we got into the trace mineral business years ago at my company, Paradigm. Then the body is an enzyme. The body has to be an enzyme in order to absorb minerals, in order to absorb vitamins. When you talk about enzymes, you talk about the pH factor of the body. The pH factor, potential hydrogen. If your pH factor is too acidic, you're susceptible to every disease on the planet. And if it's alkaline, you're quite bulletproof to anything. You won't even get the common cold. And that's the enzyme. Then the next part of the body is the vitamin itself. The body would define, you could define nutrition and vitamins as units of biochemistry possessing the characteristics of light. And if you start to realize, like we do muscle testing for the nuclear receptors that we make and products like that, we muscle test you for your weakest color. And if you test weak, for example, in green, we know for a fact that your thyroid is weak, your intellect is weak, and certain parts of your body are lacking in vitamin C. And so you can track all vitamins, all sounds, all colors through characteristic by understanding the basic vibrations of the seven colors and seven levels of consciousness. When the body goes from the absorbing the vitamin into the body, the vitamin energy, then it starts to compound the energy through nitrogen. Because the body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Those are your four building blocks. Three gases and one solid. The carbon atom is a pyramid-shaped molecule. That's why we use pyramids for wearing on your head. That's why people sleep in pyramids from our pyramid company. That's why there's pyramids on the nuclear receptor. Because it causes a proper combination of the three gases to form other solids in the body. The first being the fifth element of the body, which is called sulfur, which strangely enough is a detoxing agent. So we need lots of sulfur in our bodies. In this combining process, we produce protein from nitrogen. The protein then brings us into the amino acid chain. The amino acids then combine into what are called peptides, polypeptides, neuropeptides, three peptides, which work through three central nervous systems, and they in turn form hormones in the body. The hormone, it could be defined as the first unit of biochemistry. Remember, the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness. If you have a deficiency in your environment, you'll have a break in the chain, you'll have a deficiency in the protein, and you'll have an abnormality of the content of hormone quality in your body. One of the interesting things that I did in a lot of research with universities all over the world when we did negative ionization studies was the lack or the misrepresentation of a hormone called vasopressin in the body. Vasopressin is made up of lysine and arginine, two amino acids, and nicotinic acid, niacin, or B3. Those three things combine to form a hormone when stimulated by ionization or relaxation, creates a feeling of well-being and mental integrity. If you are exposed for more than 8 minutes of carbon monoxide from a car driving by or an airplane flying over, you will have 24 hours of symptoms that will take you away from the integrity of having a well-balanced being and a good feeling. And you'll have a decrease of dopamine, another hormone in the body, which will then cause you to become nervous and you'll turn to not only prescription drugs, but alcoholism and other forms of drug problems that people go to. This is common in our society. When you look at this situation over time,
that's why we developed the ion shower. The ion shower reverses that 24-hour period within about 90 seconds.
And time means that over 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially after the age of 30, because at 30, after you're 30 years old, the organs in your body start shrinking, getting smaller, at the rate of 5% every 10 years. The thymus gland, for example, in a small boy, weighs about a quarter of a pound. At 50 years old, in the average human being, you can't even find it. At 80, it's disappeared. Okay? Thank God for the growth hormone because it brings that back, which we'll talk about. I'm just showing you a little bit of how your body works and why you act the way you do. And we found that people driving on freeways or flying in jet planes for more than 7 years have such an abnormal production of vasopressin that that flight or fright syndrome turns into absolute violence. And so now you have road rage and air rage. It's not a psychological problem. It is a physical problem. It has been demonstrated to be a physical problem, and the drug companies don't want you to know about that at all, because that would sure kill Prozac sales if people woke up and knew how to do something about these feelings of depression and mood deprivation that we get. It's so sad to know about these things. And another thing, if you have a deficiency, for example, of B3, niacin, typically what you'll end up doing is becoming a smoker. Why? Because nicotinic acid looks like nicotine. And nicotine almost looks like B3, except when you smoke a cigarette, you get a hit of fake nicotinic acid in about 3 seconds, whereas if you start taking niacin tablets, it's going to take about an hour or two to get that same rush. But when I take people off of smoking and make them stop smoking tobacco, it's so easy because I just introduce niacin and vitamin C into their daily routine over a period of time and tell them to smoke away. Pretty soon their cigarette gets to be boring. They pick it up and light it up and they realize, yuck, and they start smelling themselves and how horrible it is, and they don't do it anymore because they have picked up a level of consciousness that the cigarette has taken away from them. Those are the kinds of things that you need to know about. And when you start to understand them, it makes life a whole lot better. I did a lot of formulating all over the world for many companies. Many vitamins on the market have my influence somewhere in the label or behind them. I remember another thing I found, we discovered quite a number of years ago, when you start to come down with a seasonal virus, which is an attack on your immune system, which is now sending you to, if you're not strong, an involuntary cleanse or a disease, antigen buildup. We found that if you would put a mineral in your body ahead of vitamin C, that your body probably wouldn't come down with a full term of the disease, meaning a viral cold or a rhinovirus of some sort, but your body would reverse itself before the symptoms bottomed out and got into your system. Because what happens is, when a virus is attacking your immune system, your body, the cells, the immune system is now surrendered to the virus, and the virus is taking over the immune system. If you feed the immune system or the body vitamin C while the body's under attack, what happens is the virus is good. I got vitamin C. That's more food. It's eating your body. So you have to change the frequency of your immune system and then put your vitamin C in. Chromium picolinate was found to be a very strong, and chromium comes in many, many different forms to the body. But we found that many forms of chromium picolinate was one of them. And when you put that in your body for about 8 or 10 hours, when you start to come down with the symptoms of a disease, the disease probably will go away in 16 hours. Whereas if you start taking vitamin C, you're probably going to have it for 2 or 3 weeks or longer, depending on your immune system. When I began to formulate these vitamins around the world, it was real interesting how it went, because when I went to Japan, where I did several formulas, they said, okay, Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokola are just fine. You know, all these countries have FDAs, or the equivalent of them. I don't know what the one, I know the one in Canada up here well. They said, Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokola is fine. Okay, so then I says, okay, well, how about we put chromium picolinate in to prevent disease? Oh, no, you can't do that. Drug, can't have that. So then we go over to Europe. In Germany, I formulated in Austria, Switzerland, and in Germany. Those three have about the same FDA, controlled by the German group. I said, well, why don't we put chromium picolinate in the vitamins? They said, fine. I said, let's also put in Fotai, Ginseng, Gotokola. Oh, no, you can't do that. These are tonics. Can't have that. Can't put them in there. I came up here to Canada with my protein powder. How much protein powder can you buy up here in real great strength? Not from the United States you can't, because they wouldn't let us bring it in, because it's considered a drug, amino acids. protein powders. In my formulas, we use lysine and arginine because lysine and arginine produce vasopressin. And I figure that most people that are able to go to the store and buy vitamins are susceptible to carbon monoxide poisoning. And as a result of that, they need to have lysine and arginine. So we put that in as a standard issue. And if you buy the vitamins from us, we can send them up to you and they don't get hassled because it's only two of 200 ingredients. Now, how many of you have gotten into the human growth hormone, HGH, up here? A few of them. How many of you have got into it, didn't notice a difference? First of all, anybody? One person? You did not notice the difference right away. It's a subtle change, aging and anti-aging. Those of you that want a little information on human growth hormone, some of the things that you don't notice that it does on everyone, so we have it in a spray form from Eli Lilly. And by the way, if you get hold of an amino stack, a thing that's got 20,000 different amino acids on it, that's not a human growth hormone. The human growth hormone has only one thing in it, human growth hormone, and that's it. In our case, we use some of Flanagan's microcluster crystals in the water to preserve the integrity of the growth hormone. Other than that, there's no additives. But one of the first things that happens with a person past 30 is that on the left atrium of the heart, the muscle tissue starts to grow back. It's deteriorating. So that by the time you're 40, if you take it for 10 years, your heart will be as strong as it was at 20. Now, you won't notice that in the first year or two, but you'll notice it in 5 or 6, because you'll find that when you start to go, I work out a lot, not as much as these WWF guys that are running around here, but I do work out quite a bit. And then sometimes I get bored with it. I'm just not a workout person, but I do it. I've been running all my life. So I'll stop for 2 or 3 months, and then I'll start working out again. As soon as I start working out again, I have the same energy. I don't notice a drop off in energy at all, because the muscle tissue is growing back to such a point that the heart doesn't get weak, as it does when we get older and then go sporadically between workouts. Human growth hormone is responsible for that. Second thing is the thymus gland. The thymus gland is part of your immune system. It's responsible for producing white blood cells, phagocytes, which go after and attack different bad alien things that come in the body. You won't feel that growing back to normal size. It won't affect your consciousness other than a better feeling of well-being. But the fact is, it does grow back to normal size. The liver itself also grows back to normal size. After about 5 or 6 years, a person that's 50 years old will have the same size liver as a person 20. And doesn't mean you can go out and start partying again like you did at 20. I wouldn't recommend it, but your body won't fall apart. It has got greater integrity. These are things that happen with the human growth hormone that you don't notice, okay? Now, if you want to notice something and you've never taken it and you feel that at some point you're going to start to take it, go down and get some blood tests first. Get a PSA count. Get a cholesterol count. Because these are the things that you're going to want to have fun watching when you start taking the human growth hormone, because it will change. The PSA count in men drops. Okay? The cholesterol drops in men and in women by 50%. The LDL cholesterol, the bad one. The HDL cholesterol rises, which is good. The friendly cholesterol in the body is better. It goes up. This is good because this lubricates synovial joints in the body. The lower back pains start to go away. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes 6 months, a year. Now, what does happen overnight when you start using human growth hormone is that in males, the testosterone level goes up 25 to 40% in 2 weeks. That you will notice in most people. So there are many, many different things, and we've done studies on it now with people starting at 80 years old and seeing results, decrease in arthritic symptoms, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to read about it from somebody that has nothing to do with me, get the Growing Young with HGH book from Amazon.com by Dr. Ronald Klatz, K-L-A-T-Z, President of the America Anti-Aging Society medical doctor. Okay, Ronald Klatz, Growing Young with HGH. HGH has been here since 1950. It was introduced in the United States to children that were born without it that would have normally died within a few years, and most of them grew to a normal growth. Later on, it was made by a vegetable synthesis program, process using organic vegetable extracts in a natural way, because the human HGH and the deer antler stuff all was found to oftentimes be tainted by Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. or mad cow disease. And this was a real problem with taking animal sources for this type of hormone in the body. It was created by God, not man. It has 231 amino acids, I believe. It's pretty interesting. Any questions, by the way, on human growth hormone before I move on? I just want to cover that. Yeah, go ahead. It's manufactured by Eli Lilly. It's a plant extract process, so it's an organic material. It's classified as a drug. A hormone is classified as a drug. But it's been released, because of what we call in the United States the ADASHA Act, it's been released in a spray form now. For a long time, only affluent people could afford it. It was $38,000 a year to take it, and it took an injection of 1 to 6 international units per week to maintain a noticeable difference in the aging process and stop the aging process and reverse the aging process in a lot of cases. But now that it's in a spray form, it's a much easier, it's affordable. It's like $1,200 a year. You have another question? No, I'm saying that plants become a protein source. And there's a lot of ways you can synthesize protein, or you can manufacture it and extract it. They use them. Eli Lilly is good about that. They have a hydroponic gardens where they manufacture and grow these plants. And these plants are then, for example, Flanagan's microclusters, which are very popular in water today for alkalizing the body, are made from plant tissue, you know, plant cell extract. So these are all extracts. What? No, they're not genetically engineered to do anything. They're just ordinary plants. You know, a lot of amino acids in the very high-end range, the expensive amino acids, come from plants. They're manufactured that way. It's not like, don't compare that with the 3M company down here that hybridizes corn. How many of you are familiar with hybridized corn? Okay, that's a corn that if you eat it, it could cause genetic damage because it only lives on a fertilizer that's also synthetic. And so as a result, when you get hybridized corn, you put it in a normal field with, you know, manure, natural organic fertilizer, it won't grow at all. It'll die. And you don't want to put that in your body. Nor do you want to put irradiated foods in your body. But unfortunately, when you go to the supermarket, 90% of your food's irradiated anyway. You know, the tomatoes are full of arsenic because they use it for caterpillars. And it goes on and on and on. So you have to build your immune system. So life extension and making your life better for the sake of just living gives you a better quality of life, if not another single year. I'd rather have, if I couldn't gain another single year, at least I'd have a better quality of what I'm living and not have any days of sickness and not get up in the morning stiff and can't walk. I like to wake up in the morning feeling good and go out jogging. That's the way it should be for everybody at any age. My mother is 83. She still runs and plays tennis. And you can keep yourself running, you know, and moving if you want to. I agree, when you get older, it's a little bit harder to get yourself motivated sometimes. But once you get yourself past the hard to motivate stage and you get into the operation, you feel really great about it. So you can just remember that feeling next time you're motivating yourself. The other thing that human growth hormone does, and where it's affected me the most, is eyesight. My eyesight, I wear contact lenses, and I went from a 450 down to a 375 in 1 year. So I've increased quite a bit. I was going the other way. And I was going to get some reading glasses made over because I'm nearsighted. And my friends that manufacture the hormone for me says, don't bother for 2 years replacing your glasses because in 2 years you won't hardly need any. And right now, my glasses that I had for 20 years are way too strong. I can barely use them. Yeah. Sure, you can use it. Yeah. She wants to know if you have glaucoma, can you use growth hormone? Yeah. You can definitely use it. Go ahead. Yes, it helps cataracts too, yeah. Produces more oxygen in the body. One of the big things, yeah, cataracts and glaucoma both are lack of oxygen. And growth hormone definitely increases the cells. You know, the oxygen capability of cells tremendously. We have it in a spray form. We didn't bring enough for everybody, but you can order it and send it to you. Yeah. About what? I've never worked with that, you know. What is it exactly? Okay, that it would help that, because not only because of oxygen, but because of the delivery of the nutritional system, the capability of the nutritional system to interpret vitamins. What happens with, in a lot of cases of diseases, of, you know, like I call decaying diseases, because of organ shrinkage. You know, you have 7 endocrine glands, 1 for each level of consciousness. And if these 7 endocrine glands don't function, you cannot assimilate your nutritional your nutrition, your seven vitamins, seven types of vitamins that your body takes. There's more than seven names of vitamins, but there's only seven frequencies of vitamins divided into the colors. Okay? So it becomes important to understand that. Now, I want to cover another subject here because I realize time gets away from me rather quickly, and that is the nuclear receptor. This is another device that we developed back in 1981, which is all over the world now. The nuclear receptor is an electrical precursing device. It's patented in the United States, and I don't know how many companies have tried to copy the ideas of what we came up with this in the beginning. There's 1,000 different things that people wear around your neck today under 1,000 different names. But the nuclear receptor is the first one that was ever patented, and it's got a track record. And if I gave you the names of who wore them in the world, it would be like name dropping to choke a horse. But trust me, in some of the events that are taking place, the big athletic events this week, there's some of those receptors are quite involved. And the receptor, what it does, it enhances the seven frequencies of the hydrogen atom in the body. We talked a little bit about the shape of the carbon atom, a little bit about nitrogen. The hydrogen atom is the atom of exchange of consciousness in the body. And as we move around the Pleiades, you know, our solar system is moving around the Pleiades, the central sun, Alcyone, at the rate of 25,827.5 years in one rotation. In that time period, we have 2,250-year breaks where the frequency or the integrity of energy on our atomic system changes frequency. And these have been divided into what are called ages. An age, the last age that we lived in was the Piscean Age. In that time, there was a certain measurable amount of consciousness available from the universe, from within the universe, to allow us to interpret our surroundings, our environment. In that time, science made certain advances. And, of course, people, the religious looks and views of that time were, I believe. So in the last 2,000 years, many of our major religions today got their origins. Now we're moving into the Aquarian Age. The Aquarian Age is a time where people are born with a knowing consciousness. And so they don't need science or religion to really have an understanding of their environment, being here and now. When that knowing consciousness comes upon us, one of the things it erases is time. Because in the older consciousness, the believing consciousness, we needed time to condition our emotions because we were more emotional beings. Today we become more mental beings. Whether we want to or not, we wake up. And so with this time, when we become mental beings, it becomes necessary to fight away at the environment that the horrible dark forces are putting before us in the guise of our governments. Well, one thing that's kind of neat about all of this is you look at these government situations of control around the world and you wonder how can we as people out here, even though we know one person makes a difference, how can we change all this? The way we change all this is each one of us individually becomes a better person. That's all you have to work on is yourself. You don't have to worry about all of these things out there. Make yourself a better person. As you make yourself a better person, your auric field quadruples and multiplies and sends energy out. And governments discover themselves. People within the governments discover themselves. And the governments fall apart because the governments were here to protect religion for the last 2,000 years. You know, now they can't protect religion anymore. Governments aren't necessary and they don't work. That's why last week the two of the terrorists, Mohammed Atma and one of the other terrorists, they got their green cards, their visas approved last week in the United States. Okay, that's our government, but that's all governments. All right, one of the funniest governments in the world is the California Department of Motor Vehicles. You think the INS down there is funny? You should see what they do. That could be a whole hour of jokes. And that's the way governments are. They don't function anymore. So this causes time because we now can become conscious and aware of time. When we become aware of time, devices like the nuclear receptor, which are anti-ELF devices, cell-enhancing devices, become very much, you know, in use. You know, our oxygen level from World War II to now has dropped almost 20%. So we're living on more carbon dioxide, where our radiation levels are up. So we need to start having direct energy inputs. We got into studying direct energy inputs for consciousness years ago, and I'll
well, that ends that show. That was a long one, a quickie. And we'll be back. next week. So thank you, denizens of the Earth, people from Mars and Venus that tune into this crazy show. And we'll continue on and on and on and on. Just you can listen to the archives if you didn't get enough of Dr. Bell tonight. Whoa, I got quite a bit. And thank you down there in Florida, Tantalk 1340, and all the people out of BBS Radio to make this the most popular show on the Internet. Good night.